You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
June the 11th, 2020. Sleepless in Seattle. No, lawless in Seattle, and probably sleepless as well. Police have been told, stay out, just stay out of a six-block downtown zone. The order was given to close a police precinct headquarters, and police have withdrawn from that area, and protesters have taken it over and said, this is a cop-free zone. And already some of the businesses in that area, along the Capitol Hill area in Seattle, are feeling abandoned by law enforcement, obviously. And on top of that, some of them are reporting we're being extorted. We got guys coming to our door and saying, you don't want your home to suffer any damage or a fire? Since police aren't here, maybe you want to give us a little money, you know? Oh, no, we're not calling it extortion. We're calling it protection. You talk about old mob tactics all over again. The thugs are rushing in, and you wait and see what happens in that area. Now, the police say we have orders, we can go in if there's a 911 call. But if they're not nearby, it's going to take a while to get there. We continue to see violence aimed against police officers in these protests, which is often a misnomer because it's not a protest, it's a riot or an attempt to assault, maim, hurt. A Central California sheriff's deputy shot in the head yesterday is an ambush attack. A gunman obviously trying to hurt or injure an officer. The shooter has not been captured. The deputy was struck while responding to a shooting. His partner dragged him to safety. The bullet remains lodged in his head. He's in serious condition. Investigators say, we certainly believe this was an ambush. He planned it. He expected officers to come and assault them. I told you this was going to happen. As we begin to see people say, the police are all bad. Good police officers doing their job. They've never done anything wrong. They've got a great record. I'm not saying that applies to this one, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt right now. Why not? But they're called into an area, and suddenly they're ambushed because the war on cops has been accelerated. And in fact, as you look at the reaction of the protest, misnamed for riots across the nation, you find crime surging. Minneapolis, Chicago, L.A., New York, all seeing upticks in crime. Now, as we're trying to restart our economy, Federal Reserve officials are now projecting the economy would grow 5% next year. 5%. We've had a 6.5% decline this year. If that happens, that would be the fastest annual growth in gross domestic product since 1984. Of course, they're not going to give Trump any credit for that, are they? And in the meantime, Joe Biden says, I think Donald Trump will try to steal the presidential election. He was also asked, well, what would you do if Trump doesn't want to leave office after you've won? You're going to hear what Biden says coming up in the next segment. In the meantime, mail-in ballots, everyone on the Democrat side said, let us just mail it in. Republicans say it's an opportunity for vast fraud. In Rhode Island, in their recent primary election, 100,000 mail-in ballots, 1 in 8 that were sent out unsolicited, were returned, deemed undeliverable. They just sent them out. And I imagine some folks took them and they weren't qualified to vote anyway. A new CBS survey finds 55% of Americans, 55% support either restrictions on abortion or a ban on the procedure entirely. The Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley says it was a mistake to appear with Trump in the Lafayette Square when the president walked from the White House to the church. I thought it was, too, because he's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's in uniform. Our men and women in uniform are not supposed to be taking part in any political event. And I would say that was probably a political event as well. No, he should not have been there. But you're going to watch the mainstream media say it just proves that Trump made a mistake. NASCAR. NASCAR says it's no longer, please listen to this one, no longer going to require teams to stand during the national anthem. There's more to this story. Several different avenues and several different responses and reaction. And we'll be touching on that before we wrap up this hour. NASCAR says you don't have to stand during the national anthem.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I would like to promise and pledge to all of my voters and supporters and to all of the people of the United States that I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election. If I win.
They loved it. That was Donald Trump, Delaware, Ohio, October 20th, 2016. October 20th, 2016, just a day after he was hit by Chris Wallace. Well, will you accept the verdict of the people if you lose? And so he decided, I'm going to go out there and talk to the crowd and give them this answer. And he did. He gave them an answer, all right. And then he went on to explain why he had some reservations. We'll get to that a little bit later. I was prompted to go back and pull that bite because of something that happened yesterday. Actually, yeah, last night. Joe Biden, on an interview with The Daily Show hosted by Trevor Noah. And Joe Biden, during the interview, said, it's my greatest concern, my single greatest concern, that Donald Trump will attempt to steal the presidential election. This president is going to try to steal this election. This is a guy who said that all mail-in ballots are fraudulent, voting by mail, while he sits behind the desk in the Oval Office and writes his mail-in ballot to vote in a primary. Now, I'm going to break that down for you. First of all, Trump has never said, and no one has said, all mail-in ballots are fraudulent. What we're saying is if you're doing massive, massive mail-in ballots, you are opening the door to fraud. I just told you. I just told you in Rhode Island, 100,000 ballots were returned undeliverable. They were sent out without even being requested by voters The state of Rhode Island just decided, let's send out these ballots to anyone that we've had previously so they can vote. They didn't send even a ballot application and let them respond saying, yes, I want a ballot. They just sent out the actual ballot. And one out of every eight kicked back because either the person wasn't there, the address changed, or whatever. But then how many were probably taken and they probably should have been sent back? And they voted illegally or ended up voting twice in two different areas. The Democrats are trying to make this mail-in balloting thing as a reason to basically voter suppression. It's not. It's actually for their benefit as well, but their benefit pays out better if they can have a lot of illegal voting, and that includes illegals, illegals who aren't even American citizens voting. Remember, they don't even want a voter ID. You do know that I think October is the final drop-dead date at this point for having a new TSA-approved ID to fly on an airplane. You're no longer going to be used just your driver's license. If you don't have a passport, which has to have a picture in it, or you don't have a new approved true ID, as they call it, you're not going to be allowed to fly. So is that an effort to suppress people from flying? All right, let's go back into this thing with Biden again last night with Trevor Noah on The Daily Show, part of the comedy show, actually, as they call it, and it's proper for that. Biden was telling Trevor Noah, you know, it's possible because we could this actual result of this election coming up, it might drag out for several days before we have an answer. And that's when he got hit with this question. Please listen.
We might not know who won Pennsylvania in a general election until a month after the election.
Wow.
What do you think that this is about with Trump? This is a man.
Do you worry then? Let me ask you this, and I know this is a strange question to ask an American politician, maybe easier around the world, but have you ever considered what would happen if the election result came out as you being the winner and Trump refused to leave?
Yes, I have. And I was so damn proud. Here you have four chiefs of staff coming out and ripping the skin off of Trump. And you have so many rank and file military personnel saying, whoa, we're not a military state. This is not who we are. I promise you, I'm absolutely convinced they will escort him from the White House with great dispatch.
And they love it. They love it because they could just see Trump hanging on to the Oval Desk office, the Resolute Desk. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to leave. And they'll have to rip him out of there. That's what they want you to believe. And, of course, he'll try to steal the election. Once again, just listen to Joe Biden's answer.
Yes, I have. And I was so damn proud. Here you have four chiefs of staff coming out and ripping the skin off of Trump. And you have so many rank and file military personnel saying, whoa, we're not a military state. This is not who we are. I promise you, I'm absolutely convinced they will escort him from the White House with great dispatch.
Oh, they're planting the seed. They're planting the seed already because if Joe Biden loses, it had to be rigged. It had to be rigged. As it was with Hillary, something was going on behind the scenes if he wins. Why would they already start playing that card? Because remember all the surveys and things that were out going into 2016? This time of year in 2016, all the surveys saying there is no way Donald Trump is going to win. In fact, at this point, he hadn't even clinched the Republican convention nomination. That wasn't until August he came out of the convention, or July, I think it was, came out, and he was going to carry the banner for the Republicans. And even then, all the polls said, no way he can win. So the question was raised originally by Lester Holt at one of the debates. I think this one aired on PBS. In September 26, 2016, before the November election, Lester Holt threw the first question out that then became a rally cry for others.
One of you will not win this election. So my final question to you tonight, are you willing to accept the outcome as the will of the voters? Secretary Clinton?
Well, I support our democracy. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But I certainly will support the outcome of this election. And I know Donald's trying very hard to plant doubts about it, but I hope the people out there understand this election's really up to you. It's not about us so much as it is about you and your families and the kind of country and future you want. So I sure hope you will.
Mr. Trump, very quickly, the same question. Will you accept the outcome as the will of the voters?
I want to make America great again. I'm going to be able to do it. I don't believe Hillary will. The answer is if she wins, I will absolutely support her.
All right, so he gave an answer, September 26, 2016, to Lester Holt. But you know what was going on? The Democrats saying, you know, he didn't really go overboard on saying I'll support. He must be having some doubts as if he'd really support it. We think we can use that as an advantage. If we can point out that this guy wants to go back to a banana republic, that if he loses, he's going to fight it, then we can really make some hay out of it. In other words, we can make sure he loses, because we're going to hit him in the face that if you lose, are you going to accept it? And we think he's going to begin to waffle and waver and so forth. So that was September 26th with Lester Holt. Move forward, not quite 30 days, October 19, 2016. And another debate. And this time, Chris Wallace fires the question.
Your running mate, Governor Pence, pledged on Sunday that he and you, his words, will absolutely accept the result of this election. Today, your daughter Ivanka said the same thing. I want to ask you here on this stage tonight, do you make the same commitment that you will absolutely, sir, that you will absolutely accept the result of this election?
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time. What I've seen is so bad. First of all, the media is so dishonest and so corrupt, and the pile-on is so amazing.
There is a tradition in this country. In fact, one of the prides of this country is the peaceful transition of power, and that no matter how hard fought a campaign is, that at the end of the campaign, that the loser concedes to the winner. Not saying that you're necessarily going to be the loser or the winner, but that the loser concedes to the winner, and that the country comes together in part for the good of the country. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well,
okay?
Chris, let me respond to that, because that's horrifying. You know, every time Donald thinks things are not going in his direction, he claims whatever it is rigged against him. This is a mindset. This is how Donald thinks. And it's funny, but it's also really troubling.
Hillary Clinton saying Donald's already thinking this rigged against him. But I will accept the will of the people. I'm gracious, and that's the way we do things in this country. I, Hillary Clinton, will stand and say, congratulations, Donald Trump, and we wish you well, and let's try to support this new administration going forward. Did she do that? Did she take that attitude with the... Of course not. Now, that debate question thrown out by Chris Wallace, October 19. The very next day, October 20, CNN and NNN puts out a piece on one of their web pages stating what you heard a moment ago, Donald Trump, I will totally accept election results if I win. So they were digging back into his remarks September 26 with Lester Holt, and then also basing it off of that interview with Chris Wallace. And, of course, he was in the process of saying, look, there's been a lot of unfairness, a media stacked against me. It's not fair anyway. And that's what he was trying to put in context. And they point out in their article, Trump has spent weeks calling the election rigged, suggesting to his supporters the presidency could be stolen from them. So again, 1 week after that last debate, you've got Hillary Clinton back in front of a crowd. And Hillary Clinton, in this case, is speaking at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, October 24th, 2016. After that October 19 debate where Chris Wallace asked the question and she was appalled that Donald Trump would reject the election results. And so she was again pounding that and using that as a good reason to go after Donald Trump.
I have to admit, you know, when we were both asked the question, I assumed he would say what everybody has always said, which is, hey, of course, You know, because to say you won't respect the results of the election, that is a direct threat to our democracy. The peaceful transfer of power is one of the things that makes America, America. It is not a joke. And look, some people are sore losers, and, you know, we just got to keep going.
You ever heard the phrase, it takes one to know one? Hillary Clinton, some people are poor losers, sore losers. How many times up to today has Hillary tried to re-inject herself into the election and complain and say, well, you know, the Russian collusion thing and then the quid pro quo in Ukraine and whatever. I mean, they have fought. The resist movement was born. Born on the very night the election results came in and Donald Trump was the winner. And we did not see Hillary Clinton that night. She did not go talk to her supporters that were gathered. And now as they watch the results come in, they're weeping and crying. And she sent John Podesta out there to do her dirty work. And he said, we'll get through this tonight. We'll look at tomorrow again. Just keep the faith. Right. Oh, I'm not done with this story. No, I've got a few more points to add to it. I want you to hear from Hillary again. Absolutely. You got to put up with it. Please stand by. That's coming up next segment. You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
I could be holding you tonight. I could quit doing wrong, start doing right. You don't care about what I think. Think I'll just stay here and dream.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I have to admit, you know, when we were both asked the question, I assumed he would say what everybody has always said, which is, hey, of course, you know, because to say you won't respect the results of the election, that is a direct threat to our democracy. The peaceful transfer of power is one of the things that makes America, America. It is not a joke. And look, some people are sore losers. And, you know, we just got to keep going.
As I said, it takes one to know one. That was Hillary Clinton again. October 24, 2016, University of North Carolina, Charlotte. A few days after the debate where Trump would not say, I fully endorse the election even if I lose. I want you to hear the entire response he gave because, well, at least a response he gave later when he appeared before a crowd when they'd already started asking on the mainstream media, will you accept the results? Will you accept them? So the first rally he had after that debate question had surfaced, Delaware, Ohio, October 20, 2016.
I would like to promise and pledge to all of my voters and supporters and to all of the people of the United States that I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win. If Al Gore or George Bush had agreed 3 weeks before the election to concede the results and waive their right to a legal challenge or a recount, then there would be no Supreme Court case and no Gore versus Bush or Bush versus Gore. And there have been numerous other cases. In effect, I'm being asked to waive centuries of legal precedent designed to protect the voters. Of course, I would accept a clear election result, but I would also reserve my right to contest or file a legal challenge in the case of a questionable result.
And no one on the Democrats had any problem with Al Gore doing that, referenced George Bush in that particular election. Remember that? A lot of folks went to bed that night thinking Al Gore had won and woke up the next day and said, no, it's not over. And by the way, the latest Reuters poll going into that election prior to those remarks you just heard from Donald Trump were Clinton was leading Trump by 4 percentage points. The most recent State of the Nation project showed Clinton with a 95% chance of winning the 270 electoral college votes needed to secure the presidency. The Electoral College, of course, is where she lost. An ABC News poll had Clinton leading with 50% of likely support. Trump only 38%. Everything, all the polls were against Donald Trump. And then he wins. And who's the sore loser then? And of course, we're looking at them already beginning to try to make excuses if they lose this time around. On the mail-in ballot issue, for instance. We'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear from Stacey Abrams, who ran for Georgia governor, in a moment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind. You just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to take a moment and tell you before we end this segment, I'm going to tell you about that 75-year-old man that got shoved to the ground by Buffalo police officers. It was horrific-looking action. He fell, hit his head, started bleeding immediately. But there's another part of the story that is apparently now becoming available. I'll get to that in a moment. And, of course, we're talking right now, as we were in the last couple segments, about Hillary Clinton says you're a poor loser if you don't accept the will of the people. I will. That's what she said going against Donald Trump in 2016, but she didn't. And now we have Joe Biden already saying, I think Trump's going to try to steal this election. And the Republicans are suppressing votes because they're fighting against mail-in ballots. They're fighting against massive mail-in ballots. And I'll give you a reason again in case you missed it in a moment. But former Georgia Democrat gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, of course, who hopes to get on that ticket with Joe Biden, she says, I have to worry about that, too. I think right now we're going to see the Republican Party try to pull some tricks. And again, pushing that it's wrong to have mail-in ballots. And in fact, in her view, there will be Democrat voters turning out in record numbers this time around. And if they can't get there and can't go in and vote, and you're not going to let them mail in a ballot, then you're going to suppress the vote. Listen to this.
We know that it's going to be worse. We know that people want to be heard. We are in the midst of a public health crisis, an economic collapse, a deep distrust of our justice system, and we have a voting system that Republicans are doing their level best to make as unusable as possible. Republicans have been fighting across this country to fight back against expansion. But we also know that Republican leaders know better. They use absentee ballots. They know that vote by mail works. They are not concerned about fraud with vote by mail. They're concerned about participation. And the reason we see people pushing back is that in the state of Iowa, there is a real strong likelihood that Democrats are going to outperform Republicans. And so this is the best way to constrain their participation. What we saw happen in Georgia was that more Democrats voted in this election than have voted in previous primaries, including in 2016.
Interesting.
And this record turnout looks different, looks like disaster for them.
And of course, if we're going to allow them to just mail in votes, there'll be no fraud. We already know that opens the door to fraud. You cannot deny that. Does that mean all mail-in ballots are fraudulent? No. Would there be enough that could swing an election? You'd have to go through the count. I just pointed out for you in news and commentary earlier that in Rhode Island, they had 100,000 mail-in ballots they sent out unsolicited, and they got sent back, returned, deemed undeliverable. So that means in their June 2nd election, in the last primary election they had, 12.5% of the ballots sent out to registered voters were undeliverable. It's not a matter of denying folks a right to vote if that's done properly and handled right. Mail-in balloting is okay, but not the way they've been doing it. Not in the Democrats. And keep in mind, they're saying, yeah, you don't get to take off in some states. You don't get to take off from your work to go vote. They won't pay you. Listen, if you could take off to go protest, even a peaceful protest in the street, pardon me, or take off and go to a riot, you can take off to vote. But again, they're already lining up their excuses when they lose. All right, let me focus on this story I mentioned a moment ago. With the video the other day that came out of Buffalo showing a 75-year-old man taking part in one of the protests underway, and he's in the way of some police officers approaching, and he actually steps toward them as they're trying to move everybody back, and they end up shoving him, and he stumbles back and falls and hits his head, the back of his head, on the pavement. And he just lies there almost as if he's unconscious, and he's bleeding from the scalp. Now, later when he's put into an ambulance, while they've got his head wrapped up, putting him in an ambulance, he's conscious enough to get on the phone and make a call. You see him with the phone as he's talking on it. Still, some police officers, at least two of them, were fired. And as a result, about 50 of the Buffalo police officers resigned, saying that's not right what happened. Let me give you some background now on this story. This guy, and I'm looking at a source that's titled The Last Refuge. It's a conservative outlet, so keep that in mind, but the video speaks for itself. They point out that this 75-year-old guy, Martin Gugino, I guess, Gugino maybe, is a professional agitator, an Antifa provocateur who often brags on his own blog site about the number of times he can get arrested and escape prosecution. Now, the Buffalo mayor at the time had said there's been vandalism, fire set, stores broken into and looted. And according to what was reported to me, that individual, referring to him, was a key major instigator of people engaging in those activities. That's stated by the Buffalo mayor. His own Twitter account, filled with anti-cop sentiment. He traveled from New York, his home in New York, to Amherst, to Buffalo, where then he was seen on that camera dealing with police officers. Some of the protesters had earlier remarked, according to the story here, he was acting like an a-hole and trying to get punched in the face. Now, during what happened, they say he was actually trying to capture the radio communication signature of Buffalo police officers, attempting to do it. As they approached him and he went toward them, and the video shows He's using his phone as a capture scanner, skimming. It's basically the same. He uses his right hand to first scan the microphone of one of the officers, the microphone at the top of his chest, then moves his hand to the communications belt of the second officer. Again, trying to get away to track police officers. Antifa has been good at doing this. They try to monitor the location of police, and they've got some high-tech software that can decipher communication encryption, jamming police communication, or learning where they are. So these professional agitators, they've gotten very sophisticated. James O'Keefe, in one of his undercover projects, has unveiled some of this. So again, the video, when Gugino is pushed away by the officers, he falls and hits his head. Certainly appears to be so. Certainly he's bleeding, apparently, from the back of the skull. And two officers suspended, I said fired, they were suspended, later arrested and charged. And in support of the entire police department unit that makes up the emergency response team, officers staged a protest themselves. And now the mayor of Buffalo is admitting, yeah, this guy's a professional agitator. He tried to work up the crowd. He'd been asked to leave numerous times. The officers have been arraigned in a hearing where they pled not guilty of the charges. They face up to 7 years in prison if convicted of this Class D felony. They've been released without bail, due back in court July 20th. And Gugino, in one of his posts after that, saying, F the police. But he was already writing stuff like that before it went down. And there was a piece of video from previously showing him standing around with some of the other protesters. They're trying to clear the area. They've been told, you need to move them back. There is video detailing what I just went through and told you about how he was trying to skim their signals. That's the allegation of what he's trying to do. The video certainly shows something that would back that up. I've got the video. We're going to post it at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Quentin, my director, the Q man, has it ready to be posted as soon as the program wraps at Larry Connors USA Facebook. And you're going to see in actual time and slow motion as the officers approach this 75-year-old man that he does exactly as I was describing, that he takes his right hand and moves his cell phone near the microphone of the officer, the mic that's on his chest. And then he moves his hand, aiming toward the communications belt of the second officer. You'll see it in real time. You'll see it again in slow motion. And the story is that he was trying to skim their communications, pick up a signature that the Antifa group could then use to either block, scramble, or use for intel as to where police are and where they're going next. I put up the video. We'll have a quick storyline on it, backing up what I just said. And then you make your own decision. I've looked at it, and my decision is, yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. Exactly what he's doing. Just like you use a credit card somewhere and somebody has a device, they skim your card through, and suddenly they've got your credit card number, and your credit card's being used in places you've never been. You still got your card in your pocket, but now they've got it, a signature of it, and they can use it. It'll be posted at Larry Connors USA Facebook. I encourage you to go there, see it, and share it with all your friends on Facebook or elsewhere. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I see trouble on the way. I see
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, the activists are tearing down all the statues that they want to, and it's considered acceptable vandalism because they're either labeling it as racist or just unacceptable in their view. And, of course, in one of the recent events, someone got hurt. Part of the statue fell on him and left him in bad condition. He was one of the ones bringing it down. Is someone going to be charged with that? Someone got hurt in the process. Now, was he one of the ones actually directly bringing it down on himself? That might reduce any possibility of charge, but what if he's just there kind of cheering it on and so forth? Is vandalism going to be acceptable and acts of violence acceptable if it's done with the belief that what we're doing is right and it just has to be acceptable? Mizzou students, by the way, yeah, they're going to restart campus again this fall. They're already circulating a petition calling on Mizzou officials to remove the Thomas Jefferson statue from the campus grounds, saying it's racist. Jefferson did own more than 600 slaves during his life, our third president. So they say, let's get rid of that one, too. He did recognize the evils of slavery, but he remained a slaveholder. And now in the 21st century, they're going to judge that he was a racist, should not be there. Already at George Washington University, a bust of George Washington's head was knocked over. And Columbus being attacked. And then we got this coming out of NASCAR. NASCAR audience clearly is majority white. That does not mean that minorities are not involved and, in fact, enjoy it. But it is a minority white audience. It's not a rich audience generally. They can't afford to have the cars to race around. They maybe race on demolition derbies and dirt tracks here and there, but not to the NASCAR level, but that's why they do it. NASCAR does have a black driver, Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace. I told you yesterday that he's going to have a car designated Black Lives Matter. The Richard Petty race group did not have a sponsor for him, so they decided we'll put Black Lives Matter on, and he was in favor, said, yeah, sure, go ahead. I think it's a good message. He said, I would like to see two added to it, you know, to show that it's not just saying anything against others, but they didn't do that. They just put Black Lives Matter on it. And now comes the decision by NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag from cars. Bubba Wallace says, I think that's good. There's no good coming from displaying the Confederate flag. Well, I know several minority groups that have no problem with the Confederate flag. In fact, they fly it on their own pickups or at their houses, at least the houses I've been in, of black and other minority groups in the South. Have the Confederate flag. They don't accept it as racism. They just simply accept it as a symbol. That's all in your perception. But NASCAR deciding to ban it. And as a result, a NASCAR Truck Series driver, Ray Cisco Kelly, says, I'm out because of that ban. This will be my last time to be in the race. I'm going to get out of it. And now, also, you got NASCAR deciding we're no longer going to require the drivers and their pit crews to stand during the national anthem. I think this is just throwing more fuel on that fire that just never should have been there to begin with. But it's going to be your personal decision. But what NASCAR is doing with that decision is very similar to what the NFL did. And look how it affected the NFL, attendance, interest, and so forth. And the attack has been underway for any police show. For instance, Cops Live, that's being canceled. And the decades-long Cops program being pulled. Because it would do something, maybe, to glorify police. Oh, and don't forget this. Black Lives Movement now targeting Paw Patrol. You know what Paw Patrol is? It's a children's cartoon on the Nick Jr. channel, Nickelodeon Jr. The New York Times says it's being pulled. It shows a positive view of police, but they're taking it off. And in fact, Nickelodeon put up a thing saying, we're going to mute our content till June 7th, giving access for black voices to be heard so we can continue to listen. And now Paw Patrol. The Paw Patrol balloon was part of the Macy Day Parade going through New York. On the Macy Day Parade, I mean normally. Big-hearted cartoon police dogs. You're on notice. You're racist. You represent cops, and cops are bad. Keep it up. Just keep it up. Let's watch and see what happens in Seattle. Six blocks down, no cop zone. And businesses, residents are being extorted by gangs. You chase them out. You say you don't want cops. Then something goes wrong. You want to call 911. Good luck with that. Thanks for listening. Put it on your calendar. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.